matters into their hands.
Yanar Mohammed, longtime activist for women's rights in Iraq, spoke to Marge May of Community Radio WERU in 2005. Yanar built 11 safe houses in the past 22 years for women fleeing honor killings, trafficking, and abuse. She was assassinated on March 2, 2026. The struggle continues. Wings thanks our supporters, including your community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose events can be viewed at maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
KBOO Portland.
This is Voices of the Iron Front, a militant, uncompromising broadcast confronting fascism, white supremacy, and political repression in real time. Each episode delivers sharp political analysis, historical grounding, and unapologetic truth-telling, centered on community defense, mutual aid, and resistance from the ground up. Tune in, alternating Thursdays from 2 to 3 a.m., for voices that refuse to be softened, diluted, or ignored. This is not comfort radio. This is not neutrality. This is vigilance. This is resistance. This is Voices of the Iron Front.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Development and Events Committee meets on the third Monday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Quiet as often as I could have. And maybe I didn't treat you.
Good morning, Portland Pollies. This is Dr. Tony Zimbardi, and you're listening to Radical Romance. My apologies, I'm a little congested this morning. My nose is a little clogged up, so hopefully you'll still be able to understand me, and my English will be pretty darn clear. So I have no guest today, so you are my co-host, listeners. If you want to call in and talk to me about anything related to ethical non-monogamy, open relationships, open marriages, please give me a call. Speaking of open marriages, I saw a great series. I binge-watched it all the way through one afternoon last week. I loved it. It was on Netflix, and it's called Vladimir. It's about these married college professors. They work at the same university, husband and wife, and Vladimir is the new young male professor on staff. And this couple has an open marriage, an arrangement, they'd call it. And Vlad, of course, is the new young, sexy, 30-ish professor. And the wife has constant intrusive sexual fantasies about this dude. So that's the nature of the series and all the mishaps that incur. The husband, well, he's being chastised by the university and given a little tiny trial about what's going on related to his own sexual behavior with students. And this couple, I don't want you to think they only prey upon students. They're not. They're not exploitive in any way, for the most part, they seem to like other professors. And sure enough, Vlad and his wife move into town with a new baby, and he's the new professor on staff, and all sorts of mayhem ensues. I also do not have a ethicist column from the New York Times this morning. I couldn't find any good ones. I think everything I looked for was a rerun, something they had printed previously. I could not find anything new, but I did find an article I thought you guys might find interesting, because I did. Let's see, it's called The Five Unofficial Love Languages. Many of us have heard of that book that was out years ago, a book written by an author named Gary Chapman. He's a therapist. And he proposes that couples express their love to one another in very distinct ways. And let me get back to that. Here we go. Those five ways are acts of service, compliments, quality time, and physical touch. I think I require all of those. These are the new ones. Oh, no, those are the originals. Acts of service, compliments, quality time, and physical touch. If you want to call in and talk to me about what your language of love is, I'm happy to hear it. Or perhaps it's that of your partner. The number is 503-231-8187. And the writer of this article goes on to say, she talks about her own marriage and how she just dresses the bare minimum to get by at work. And then she comes home, she puts on the sweats, and her husband doesn't even seem to notice, because he's a snappy dresser, she writes, at work. And she asks him why he never comments upon her appearance, and does he mind that she dresses like a total slob, so to speak, when she gets home from work. She probably has to do the cooking and cleaning. My take on the whole women's movement is it was not for women. It really worked out in the end for men, because men now get to change their babies themselves. In a male restroom, you will find a baby changing station. Women get to go to work full time, come home, still have to make the dinner, put the kids to bed, give them their baths first, and all of that. So her husband turns to her when she asks him why he never makes any comments, and he has a little smirk on his face and says, "I see the inner you." She says that's probably his coping mechanism. So she goes on to talk about another writer, a professor named Michelle Nichols, who is a professor of human sexuality at the University of Washington. Oh, so she's not far from here. And author of You Could Be Having Better Sex. But even she goes on to conclude, there's not definitive data showing that there are distinct languages of love. Still, she says, there's a good framework for romantic communication, and she just goes on to say, basically, there are no real languages of love. It's unique to the couple. You know that little weird saying about relationships are like snowflakes. Each one is completely different, but if you put them under the microscope, you see all sorts of stuff going on. I'm pausing because I'm still looking at this article thinking, well, they don't come to any clear conclusions. We have two different ideas of what love languages are like. From the original model that reflects gifts, acts of service, compliments, and quality time, and physical touch, to not noticing what your partner is wearing, and hopefully in not noticing, you're not distracted by something else, but you are seeing the real inner, whoever your partner is, your inner partner. I guess what they go on to say is you're seeing the love that one partner has for another, that it doesn't even matter what they're wearing. Just cherish your partner. And my own personal take is cherish your partner and be kind. The old thing about the wife asking the husband, do these jeans make my butt look big? And the husband then responds, no, your butt is just big. So the jeans are the jeans. So if you have any thoughts about that, call me, 503-231-8187. This is Radical Romance. If you are involved in ethical non-monogamy or an open relationship, I would love to hear from you. Portland certainly seems to be the city for these kinds of relationships. So if you're one of the Portlanders out there in an open or poly relationship, please give me a call. I haven't seen that show Poly Family in a while. Poly Family has the two couples who share one home. The husbands switch back and forth bedrooms every night. And they just had a fifth child between the two couples. And no one's quite sure who the daddy is because the dads have been reluctant to take a paternity test. And the kids they already have, which were four existing, basically two for each couple, well, they're all by the original couples before they brought in additional partners. So that's Poly Family. It's a non-scripted show. It's a reality show. And in this new show that I'm loving, well, I've already watched the whole darn thing. It was only 8 episodes. I hope it comes with Netflix. You know, you may wait a year for the next season. And so I really liked Vladimir. The husband and wife both have sex with other individuals. And Vladimir seems to be more the wife's obsession than not. You never know the wife's name in the episode. She's the narrator, and it's primarily, I don't know why it's called Vlad. Well, Vlad is her obsession. So there was some article I read on the internet. Well, they didn't refer to obsession as limerence, but they really talked about the feeling of being in love using the term limerence, that happiness you feel when your partner walks into the room. You just feel, I don't know, in my opinion, safe. Safe that the partner you have has got your back. I think that's one of the keys to life. As children, we need to feel that our parents and playmates have our backs. And I think that's what leads to personality disorders such as narcissism, histrionics, things like that in later life. As people grow up, if they do not feel their parents and playmates have their back, the other big thing that comes out of that is addictions. They tend to self-soothe those nasty feelings of unworthiness or unlovableness. I know I'm kind of making up words here, but anyway, yes, you must feel that your parents and friends, as a child, have your back. And that's probably important as well as an adult. You have to feel that your partner and perhaps your children and friends have your back. I feel that way. My sons, I have two boys, they're in their mid-20s, and they tend to text me on occasion just letting me know that they were thinking of me and that they love me. They call me Papa. My younger son came up with that title. Well, my kids were adopted, and they were already 3 and 4 when we adopted them. And we had this discussion at the kitchen table one evening over dinner about what were they going to call us once the adoption was finalized. It would be confusing if they called us Dad and Dad or Father and Father. So my younger son said he wanted to call me he wanted to call me Papa because that's what Pinocchio called Geppetto. And I thought that was so sweet. Pinocchio was his favorite video at the time. And ever since, they've both called me Papa and my now ex-husband Dad. I was just happy that it came from them, that they put some thought into their reasons and were able to express that thought. It was very nice. Okay, so I am ready for my co-host to start calling whenever you're ready, 503-231-8187. You're listening to KBOO FM 90.7 on your dial. Let me see if I can pull anything else of interest out of here. Okay, in the end, I'm going to the end of this article, and it's basically exactly what I just said out of my own mind. I don't think I had read this part of the article yet because I don't have anything highlighted, but they said, ultimately, the most important thing is emotional safety. That's what I was talking about when I said you need your friends and family or spouse and children and friends to create an emotionally safe environment for you when you're in the room with these folks. Make sure they have your back. That's my phrase for the moment. When you don't feel that people have your back, again, it can lead to addictions, personality styles, all sorts of problems in life. And I'm thinking of that old Nat King Cole song, "The Greatest Thing Is to Love and Be Loved." Which song is that? Someone will tell me. If any of you remember that song, the greatest gift is to love and be loved. I remember an episode on The Sopranos when Tony is talking to his therapist about his own mother, who is just one heck of a mother, that's all I'll say. The mother, you know what. Anyway, the mother, Dr. Melfi, the therapist, goes on to tell Tony she's a narcissist. She's incapable of giving or receiving love. And I wonder about the current occupant of the White House when I think about that and what his family relations are like, what his connections to his children are like. And his wife, hopefully, what they're like. She certainly seems to have his back. She's one of those silent first ladies. Doesn't say much publicly about their relationship, which is probably good. So, anyway, all I know about her is I did watch her documentary because it was free on my cable at home. So, yes, I watched that Melania documentary. I was much more captivated by the Michelle Obama documentary based on Michelle's new book. I think it has the same title, and I believe it's called Becoming, and I think she talks about becoming who she is post-White House. Interesting job for an ex-first spouse. One of these days we may have a first gentleman. We've already had a second gentleman. Oh, no, we did not. Doug, Kamala's husband, no, he never made it to the second gentleman part because she didn't make it to the president part. So here we go again, 503-231-8787. 8187-503-231-8187. Give me a buzz if you're inclined to weigh in on some of these topics about emotional safety in a relationship, about seeing the inner partner. I've shared my own personal experience with my current main squeeze, S. Well, I've said it before. Stuart, hey, Stuart, shout out to you. Good morning. Love you. About how he tells me that when we get into bed and start the hanky-panky, so to speak, that my disability, I'm a stroke survivor. My left side of my entire body is still paralyzed. Can't move it. Can't get on my hands and knees. Can't do many acrobatics in the bedroom. But he says it all melts away once I get between the sheets. And that is so nice to hear, that that seems to disappear, that when I'm not wearing clothing, the true me comes out. I felt seen when he said that. And he's one of those people who does give all of those other little things, the acts of service, the compliments, the quality time. And I'm always asking him, well, how do you know all that? And he says, I just pay attention. To me, that's, he really sees me, just like that woman who wrote the article here. I feel seen when he knows what kind of dessert I like or what kind of vegetables or fruits I do not like. I do feel seen, which is important in a relationship, to feel seen. And honestly, with you callers, I don't think you call me because you want advice. I think when you do, it's because you just want to feel seen and heard, which is another way of being seen, to feel heard and understood. So if you have any thoughts on feeling heard and understood, please give me a call, 503-231-8187. Oh, I'm here getting warm in the studio. I'm going to take off my jacket, and then maybe I'll feel seen. Well, no, I'll feel heard, because you'll call me in and talk to me, and then you'll feel heard. Here's your opportunity. Give me a call, 503-231-8187. We're talking about ethical non-monogamy, open relationships, polyamorous ones, meaning you may have more than one partner. I would love to hear from you if you have more than one partner. 2025 was my year for having more than one partner. And then there was a little falling out between the two of them, which did not affect me so much, but it affected me post-falling out, where I turned out to be the chosen one, which makes me think of Galinda and Elphaba in the Oz movie, the Wizard of Oz movie. What was that called? Wicked. Wicked, that was what it was called. I'm rambling a little today, but yes, so ultimately one of them was the chosen one, and one of them is not. It's funny, Wicked was a little bit more of a soap opera with two women fighting over one man, Fiero, who happened to be, in real life, the gay, sexiest man alive. What is that actor's name anyway? Someone will think of it, and someone will let me know. If you know what it is, 503-231-8187, give me a call. I need a co-host today, ladies and gents. And as usual, the topics are polyamory, open relationships. One term they used, well, one of the students in the Vlad series used when confronting her professor was, actually it was a question to the professor, whether she felt compersion. Compersion is that poly term for the happiness you feel witnessing your partner's happiness with some other person. So if you've ever felt compersion, I'm not sure I have. I have felt the jealousy of, gee, he never does that at home, like the old coffee commercial. Jim never has a second cup of coffee at home. They're visiting friends, and so Jim gets a second cup from the hostess. And the wife says to herself, he never gets the second cup of coffee at home. And I remember being in a three-way, and I had the thought, he never does that to me at home. not a very good feeling to watch your partner having too much happiness over what he's doing to someone else. It made me feel more jealous than joyful. Ultimately, I'd love to feel joyful if my partner is having a happy sexual experience with someone else. That's the goal, to be happy for their happiness. The Buddhists have a term for that as well, being happy for your partner's happiness. I do remember that. It's in Buddhist philosophy. Oh, empathic joy. That's their term, empathic joy. Like empathy with a bit of joy over your partner's pleasurable experience in front of you. That's the idea behind so many three-way experiences physically, is to be able to be happy for your partner and what they're experiencing in the moment. Jeez, I'm congested today and having a hard time sounding like my nose is not clogged up. But you're listening to KBOO-FM, and this is Radical Romance, the show for those poly folks, people in open or polyamorous relationships, wondering where my buddies are today. 503-231-8187. Give me a call. Let me know your thoughts on all of these topics this morning. They're all about the little things. The little things we can do for our partners is just paying attention to what they like and dislike in life, and trying to avoid the dislikes and enhance the likes. I think that's the key to a happy relationship. That's my own personal theory, Dr. Tony. Avoid the dislikes, increase the likes. If you can do that for your partners, you will have a happier life experience and feel happier with that relationship. So I'd love to hear, what poly or open experiences have you been able to share with your partner that you felt joyful about? I don't know if I ever felt joyful, but they're always fun if you can get in the mindset of sex for the fun of it, whether it's with your partner or whether it's with a quote guest star, meaning you're bringing someone new home the two of you have decided upon. You're the series regulars, and whoever it is you bring into your bedroom who's not part of your relationship, well, they're the guest star that week. I am a big believer in guest stars. Guest stars can be fun. But someone told me something a long time ago, which I really appreciated, which was, it's much more fun being the guest star than being the series regular. And I concur with that philosophy. It's that opportunity for empathic joy, being happy about your partner's happiness and the pleasure they're receiving from the guest star. Have any of you ever had that experience before in your open sexual relationships? Call me and let me know if that's the case. If it was a joyful or non-joyful experience. Hopefully they're all going to be joyful, but you never know. That reminds me of the time when my son was about 7 and he said, "Papa, I decided that I am agnostic." And I said, "What made you decide that?" And he turned and said, "Because, you know, you never know." He meant there could be a God. He was undecided at the time. And I just thought that was pretty cute for a 7-year-old. So there's the old expression, kids say the darndest things. They do. I was watching something about race on TV the other night, and these young people of color who were being interviewed said things like, when you know what you are not, it helps you decide who you actually are. Which I thought was kind of profound and simple, all in one expression. I remember when we were driving down the street one day, and my sons, who were in the backseat, kept asking me questions. And they were maybe 3 and 4 at the time. Why are his hands pink? Why is his face brown? Questions like that. And at first I was so confused because I was stuck on color, because they had no other reference to ask why certain people had a skin tone such as they did, why white people look pink to them. My sons are not white, by the way. They are brown, they are Mexican in terms of their ethnicity. But yeah, that's how I decided they're trying to sort out race for themselves. Why is somebody's face pink? Why is some people's eyes shaped differently? Why are some people's skin tone brown versus black versus white versus whatever the case may be? So, yeah, it helps children at least develop their own sense of identity in terms of what they are and what they are not. And I think that's pretty cool to witness your kids trying to figure that out for themselves, who they are, what's their ethnicity. Another time, and again, my boys do know that they're Mexican. They had one white dad, me, one black dad, my ex. They knew that I was Italian. They knew that he was African American. And they were really caught up on colors at that point in their little lives. Of course, they were toddlers and trying to sort it out for themselves. And then my older son, who was maybe 6 or 7 at this time, said, Papa, we need to bring in food tomorrow for lunch. We're having a potluck. And I said, oh, really? What do you want to bring in? What do you want to make? And he said, well, she told us to pick out our favorite ethnic food, and she said, that's based on your culture, so I think I want us to bring in spaghetti and meatballs. I said, really? Spaghetti and meatballs? Why is that? I was wondering, because I could clearly see, looking at my boys, that they're brown, they're Mexican, they know it. And I said, why spaghetti and meatballs? He says, well, because our last name is Zimbardi, and that's Italian. Which was cute. He forgot about his own identity, that he was Mexican by race and ethnicity. And they were actually born in the U.S. I don't even know whether their birth parents were U.S. citizens. They were both in and out of jail, both of their birth parents, up in the years leading up to the point where I adopted them. By that point, they were already put into the foster care system. I went through the program, which is called Fostering to Adoption, known as FOST-ADOPT in the LA County system. I'm sure they have a similar situation here with cross-racial adoptions, cross-ethnic adoption. One time I remember, someone started to get into a disagreement with me, someone who I barely knew, who I ran into in public. It was trying to tell me my boys were Filipino because their eyes were slightly almond-shaped. And they were Mexican. So that was an interesting situation, to get into a disagreement with a total stranger, practically, about that, an acquaintance, I should say, with an acquaintance, about what the race or ethnicity of your kids are. And I suppose it could even happen in a case of natural birth where one child comes out looking more like the ethnicity of one of the parents and another child does not. I mean, look at Heidi Klum, who's now divorced from Seal. Their children are a complete set of crayons. They're every color in the box. Heidi's white, Seal was black, still is, and their kids are all various shades from white to black. They have a whole host of kids. I think they're all naturally born via Heidi and Seal. I don't know if any of them are adopted, but they have a whole mass of different colored children, which I think is a pretty cool thing. And again, it helps the kids figure out race for themselves, what they are, what they are not, what happens when you mix two different races together. My roommate is biracial, half black, half white, and he considers himself to look Egyptian. He said, most people think I'm Egyptian because he has a prominent nose. Type of nose that he feels you don't expect to see on a black person, but more on a Middle Eastern person. My preference in life, and I tend to tell this to a lot of people, is I like a man with a prominent nose. I have kind of a small nose for a dude. I always wanted to, I'm probably one of the few people on Earth who wanted a larger nose. But I'm getting way off my topic of polyamory and open relationships. If any of you have any thoughts about that, I'd love to hear from you. 503-231-8187. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 on the FM dial. This is Tony Zimbardi. You're listening to Radical Romance, the show about open or polyamorous relationships. I'll get back to Vlad for a quick minute, which is a couple who have an open marriage. The wife refers to it as an agreement. The wife's name is never mentioned in the entire series. When I looked it up online to read a little bit about it, they call her the narrator. She is indeed the narrator of the series, and I highly recommend you watch it. It brings up all the pitfalls and complications of an open marriage. That's what they've decided they've agreed upon, and they've titled it as. It stars Rachel Weisz, who's also the wife of Daniel Craig in real life, and John Slattery, formerly of Mad Men and Sex and the City. In fact, in one of the episodes, the Rachel Weisz character says to the John Slattery character something like, you're acting like you're out of a scene from Sex and the City. And the irony about that is, he did have a great story arc in Sex and the City. He was the politician who was into water sports, and he was dating the Sarah Jessica Parker character, and she wasn't into that, and it did not work. She was into dating a politician and maybe even becoming a politician's wife one day, but ultimately their relationship was doomed, and that was just one of many, many, many of her story arcs on that show, was dating the politician into water sports. And he played the politician. And here's his quote wife on Vladimir suggesting he's acting like he's in a scene in Sex and the City. I don't know if you've all seen that show or if you're all watching Vlad, but I'd love to hear if you are. 503-231-8187. Give me a call here at KBOO and let me know your thoughts. It's a quiet morning here in Portland, a typical winter day. Dreary and drizzly. I'm looking around here for my handkerchief, and I can't find it. Carmina, any thoughts on... Have you seen... She's shaking her head no. Carmina's my board operator. She screens your calls for me. You're a little young to be having seen Sex in the City the first time around. I think it premiered in the very late 90s, like 97, 98, somewhere in there. Did you ever watch, or do you ever watch those old reruns? Yes. Now she's nodding her head in the affirmative. So she's nonverbal today. You can speak, Carmina. It's okay. She keeps shaking her head no. Okay. Well, I love you anyway. As long as you keep doing your board operator work for me, she's great. Not a single mistake I can find of hers yet, but she does a great job for me. Do you work on other shows as well, Carmina? She's shaking her head yes. It's the affirmative. But this is your favorite one? Yes. She's giving me a big nod forward. I heard there's another new reality show. I heard this. Where did I hear this yesterday? I think it's called Age of Attraction, and it's going to be on Netflix. And it's about, Netflix has a lot of these kinds of shows where you don't know something about the individual. There's Love is Blind, where they're in pods, and they talk to each other through a speaker system, and then they ultimately have to propose and go through with a wedding, and then ultimately they're married. Does it always work out that way? There are a lot of runaway brides and even runaway grooms who go all the way up to the wedding day. And then at the ceremony, with all of his family there and all of her family there, they've never done a same-sex wedding or had a same-sex couple on that show. But, again, people are fickle. They don't always express how they're feeling, and that's how love works. I found my handkerchief. I started out with Age of Attraction, which is people do get to see their partners, but no one is allowed to tell their age until they select their partners. I haven't seen the show. It has not premiered yet, but it's in production. It will be hitting Netflix soon, Age of Attraction. It's harder on the women. They wind up telling some of these boys, because they do have a trailer reel, so I said they wind up telling these boys, but the boys are actually young men in their 20s and early 30s for the most part, and he doesn't know her age and she doesn't know his actual age. And then the question is, can they accept it and can they move forward with it? They used to call it the May-December romance, meaning one is young, but one is more mature. I'm saying mature as an acronym for old. I was chatting with my neighbor last night who said, so I've seen your roommate who's walking the dog, and I see you with your dog, because she has two dogs as well, and she said, but Who's the other old guy who comes around? Does he live there too? She said, he's like your age. Sorry about that, Stuart. Anyway, she was referring, I said, oh, that other old guy would be my boyfriend because he's my age. So that's what happens when you become, quote, mature, meaning, unquote, old. (503) 231-8187 Radical Romance. Call me. Let me know your thoughts if you want to discuss anything from the article I presented on the languages of love to Vladimir versus Polly Family, which is a network show. Vladimir is on Netflix. The other reality shows tend to be on network shows, major channels. But even those are not necessarily a major channel. Sometimes they're on things like FX or the Learning Channel. And they have a surprising amount of relationship shows or shows where the people happen to get in relationships with someone else. And most of them are that kind of heterosexual binary experience where people immediately agree to exclusivity or monogamy and get into those relationships. And then as soon as they do, one of them winds up, quote, cheating, which means they're having sex with someone else. It's amazing how frequently that happens in reality shows. Although none of us know how real a reality show really is. That's another thing I felt I had in common with my neighbor when we were chatting last night. She's a lovely person named Gani. She lives right across the hall from me. And we had a great conversation about, we are both hooked on the whole 90-day experience on the Learning Channel. There's the 90 Day Fiancé, Beyond the 90 Days, all of those kinds of shows about relationships. And ultimately, because we're dealing with heterosexuals, they wind up being involved in, quote, monogamous relationships. And then somebody cheats. And I'm not saying that homosexuals or gays and lesbians never cheat. We believe in, which is one of the lines from the series Vladimir, we believe in the whole, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. Yes, the wife does have that line. So, like an oops, I bent the rules is much better than flat out lying and asking, you know, when you ask for, well, can I have sex with that person, honey? Would you mind? Which we do all the time in my relationship. Well, not so much actually explicitly, but we enjoy the company of people we find attractive together. Ultimately, the other closing line in that article I read earlier, I hear you, was the name of that. The five unofficial love languages. She talks about being able to be playful with your partner, which is little inside jokes, fooling around with names or fantasies. And I think that's an important thing for any couple, whether they're gay, straight, or otherwise, to be able to discuss, to be able to share and maybe even joke about their fantasies and what they involve. I know it's happened in my last couple of relationships, but the last one I had in Los Angeles before I moved up here was one of those traditionally monogamous relationships, although that relationship did come out of my marriage down there. I was same-sex married. We decided to open things up. It did not work out. And then I became same-sex divorced and a much poorer person since it cost me a lot of money. So those are my thoughts on that. Yes, better to ask permission than forgiveness. Forgiveness means, oh, honey, I did not mean to sleep with that person, or it meant nothing. All of these articles I tend to read to you really poo-poo that phrase. It meant nothing to me. So the partner's response to that is always, well, why did you do it if it meant nothing? Does that mean our relationship meant nothing as well? I'd love to hear a happily ever after story with more than two people and see what was that like for you. Please give a call if you can, 503-231-8187. You're listening to Radical Romance on KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial. We've got 10 minutes left. I'd love to have a call. Give me a buzz, 503-231-8187. You'll be connected just directly to me after you speak for a second with Carmina. She'll be the one who initially picks up your call when you call at the studio. Okay, 5 minutes left, she just said to me. So somebody give a quick call. 503-231-8187, Radical Romance. KBOO. Would love to hear from some of you guys. I will do my best to get a butt in the mirror for an interview for the next show. So that'll be the fourth Wednesday of the month. I'm here the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. Again, sorry for my congestion again today. I am trying to discreetly blow my nose when I can, so you folks don't all have to listen to that. I'm sure you'd rather listen to something more important than me. Okay, there, that was a fairly quiet one. Good. Hopefully I can find some newer ethicist columns as well for the next show. I don't know if he's on a hiatus. He's the, his name is Kwame something or other. He's the New York Times ethicist, and he hasn't printed anything in months, it seems. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, since the end of 25, I don't think he's presented any new articles to the Times. I keep renewing my subscription just so I can find ethicist columns that are new. They're all about the ethical, moral dilemmas of open and polyamorous relationships, which are at the heart of this show. I had a same-sex marriage with an open poly relationship. And now I'm in a relationship that is ethically non-monogamous. He's very good about telling me that he has or has had other sexual relationships than the one he has with me. And I manage it fairly well considering how well I know myself. I don't take that personally the way many people do, and that's the problem don't take it personally. If your partner wants to have sex with someone else, it's not about you. It's about the other person. So their curiosity about wanting an encounter with someone else, again, please don't take it personally. It's not about you. Perhaps that other person has a look they just want to experience in life. I've never been someone with long hair, for instance. I would love to have a sexual encounter with another dude with long hair. Something about hair hanging down in your face, being able to rub your hands through it, just an experience I've never had, I would love to. The past several years, it's been the fashion to have short hair, and so most men still have short hair. I'm getting near time to wrap up for today. I'm sorry I had no guests today. I'm sorry I had no callers today, but that's beyond my control. I'm not going to take it personally, as I just said about relationships. This is a relationship. I'm having a relationship with all of you who are listening. So, and I appreciate all of you who are listening for being in this relationship with me. It's a relationship show. We're in a relationship, me and you folks who call. I hear the goodbye music. Maybe is that okay, everybody? I'll be back the fourth Wednesday morning of this month. I look forward to beauty communicating with you then. As I like to sign off every show, I want to say happy playing, folks. Now go out and have some fun.
If I made you feel second best,
you did.
Girl, I'm sorry I was blind. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. And maybe I didn't hold you all those lonely, lonely times. And I guess I never told you I'm so happy that you're mine. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. But you were always on my mind. You were always on my mind.
You were always on my mind. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 10:59 a.m. Next up is the Dirtbag.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.